Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnut, and with me today is Ollie Hills, CEO of Nonsensical, which is a brand name I love, by the way. And we're going to be discussing leveraging the power of local communities via social media. So all things local and social today. Welcome to the podcast, Ollie.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. So before we go into the depths of today's episode, do you want to take a moment to introduce people to Nonsensical and your role in that company?
Absolutely. And I love the fact you love our name. When we were rebranding recently, we rebranded in March, it just absolutely worked. And a lot of this podcast will talk about why kind of nonsensical content really works on social today. So yeah, really pleased you like it. So I'm Ollie. I'm the CEO of Nonsensical. We are a social media agency and publisher. So as well as running clients, social media, et cetera, we also own and operate our own social media communities. So we have Birmingham Updates, which has about 750,000 followers across the different social channels. And we also have Best of Bristol, which has now got 150,000 followers, again, across the social channels. And most recently, we launched a non-local community, but a TikTok-specific one called Endless Mythology. And just last week, that tipped over 100,000 followers in just 7 months. So yeah, really, really pleased with how that's grown.
And in this episode, we'll discuss the growth of those. How do you describe them yourself? Are they the communities, I guess?
Yeah. It's a weird one because no one really knows how to describe them, because it's semi-publisher, semi-community, semi, social media page, some people call it. So, but generally we call it communities.
Yeah. So we'll discuss the growth of those communities. But before we get into that part, there was something interesting that came up in the research. And the note I've got in front of me is that as an agency and publisher, you grew from 6 to 23 employees in the pandemic, which so far we're, I guess, just over 18 months into the pandemic, which is phenomenal. That's incredible growth. You know, the pandemic has thrown so many variables into the world of business and marketing. And we've heard so many stories about people that have suffered as a result. And then there have been these crazy growth spurts in different types of companies as well. So I'm just interested to know what you think has driven the demand for your services in social media publishing, community growth, over this last 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, if I can take us back to March.
Yeah, please.
2020, we generally at that point relied on branded partnerships through Birmingham Updates. And in the space of a week, my phone did not stop ringing with everyone asking to basically pause their campaigns that we just signed. So I think it was something like 90 or 95% of our revenue was lost in a week, which was absolutely brutal. We're not the only company that have gone through it. So you absolutely can't complain or rest on your laurels. And it was just that time really where I thought, A, we as a business, we can't rely on one revenue stream. That was a big risk and one that just came and bit us really. But actually what I noticed was that during lockdown, you still had to communicate with your customers. And social media was absolutely the right way to do that, both with your local community, if you're a independent retailer or cafe or bar or something like that, but also nationally if you were more of a national brand. So it was always an itch that I wanted to scratch in terms of setting up an agency. And really, it was just the pandemic that forced our hand to do it more quickly than expected, really. So it's one of those ones that it's always a little bit hard for me to say, but the reality is, to set up a social media agency, all you really need is a phone and a laptop. The barriers to entry to set up an agency is not that high. So I was always really proud of the fact that we'd been there and done it ourselves in terms of creating our own communities, and had that kind of proof point, really, and that credibility to say that we've been there, we've done it, and we know what content really resonates on social. So in March, April, we just decided, right, let's go straight into social media management as a service and use Birmingham Updates and whatnot as our credibility. And then all of a sudden, we just started to win new business after new business after new business. And it was unbelievable in terms of growth. And yeah, something we're really proud of. We do just sit there sometimes and reflect on what a wild 18 months it's been. I mean, we've now got team in Bristol, a couple of people in London, one in Edinburgh, one in Peterborough. So yeah, now instead of having six, we're now 23, but all dotted across the UK.
So that's really interesting, because a couple of lessons that I've just taken in that small snippet there, that introduction from you, is that the credibility of the communities that you had already built played a big part, it seemed, in winning that early business. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I'm a massive, massive fan of the team at On The Tools, who built their community and then launched their agency. The likes of Lad Bible, obviously, BuzzFeed, Jungle Creation as well, who own kind of Kidspiration and other amazing communities. So I've always been really inspired by that, and actually think, yeah, you've been there and done it. And it just took me a while, really, to realize that we'd also done that. The fact that it's local makes it even more unique, really. So yeah, I think that credibility aspect was really important, especially going to pitches and showing that we're the team to support these brands that we now work with.
And the businesses that you won early on in the pandemic, so we're talking, yeah, March, April, 2020, were those local companies in the Birmingham area? And when did you start to expand to other cities?
Yes, so generally it was Birmingham. So we knew that some of our clients who obviously wanted to stop advertising, they'd struggled with their own socials. So it was a quick conversation with them, really, to be like, let's come and create some stuff for you. Let's really kind of supercharge your own communities and run your socials. So that was quite quick, actually, in terms of focusing in on Birmingham, because we had a pre-existing relationship. Once then you get the case studies, we then started to move into more national brands that we now run their socials for.
And for the business that you have won in the pandemic, you know, it's incredibly hard. People are very conscious about the money they spend. And I've experienced it in a marketing agency, exactly the same scenarios that you described at the beginning there, people calling you up and saying, hey, you know, we want to pause or cancel our contracts. And that is a nightmare scenario, really difficult to navigate in 2020. So to have grown these companies in this time, the demand for social media is something that's really interesting to me. Is there anything that you can pinpoint or that you've reflected on in this period that has maybe made social media services more attractive to local companies?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. I'm actually doing a little bit of work now on speaking to our customers and other marketeers about what is the actual value of social. I don't think anyone's quite answered that question in a way that is succinct and kind of makes sense. I think where brands really struggled was, if you did have a community, it was very, very easy to communicate with your potential customers and customers. And I think the pandemic really shone a light on the importance of having that direct line to your followers, to your community, that they didn't have before and maybe didn't need previously, because you'd get passing trade or whatever it may be. So I think the fact that your only route to communicating with customers was either through TV ads or TikTok, which seemed to blow up during lockdown, was your traditional social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn.
Yeah, something that strikes me that I'm just kind of reflecting on and thinking about is that, I don't know the stats on this, but it would be interesting to know, I'd assume that people would want to replicate that sense of community. In the UK, we're kind of out of the lockdown scenario now, but when we were locked down, you're seeking that sense of community elsewhere because you weren't getting that interaction offline. So maybe that's where the social media, the demand for social media and particularly engagement, and particularly the rise of TikTok, is kind of the perfect sweet spot, in that that's where you can spend a lot of time. You've got time to spend, and you can do it in a community as well.
TikTok is, wow, unbelievable platform. I'm obsessed. I think it's absolutely incredible.
Well, let's get into that then. So, because I want to talk about to kind of build the picture up about what you do for our listeners and for myself, I want to learn a little bit more about how you've grown some of these communities, in particular, Best of Bristol, Birmingham Updates, and was it Endless Mythology?
It was, yeah.
And so maybe if you could just describe those local social communities. I know Endless Mythology isn't local necessarily, but talk me through the process of building those accounts, those communities, those projects up.
Great. So Birmingham Updates was the first. Cast your mind back just over 10 years ago to August 2011. The UK was in a torrid time because you'll recall there was the riots. And in Birmingham, it was hit quite badly. There was a lot of looting and serious problems. And the brutal, honest truth is that even back in 2011, there was a zero lack of trust in social media. We talk about it now in terms of fake news and all that stuff. But even back in 2011, people didn't know what to believe when they were on social media. So Luke, who was a colleague of mine, set up Birmingham Updates on Facebook and was literally just writing what was going on, what was safe, where wasn't safe, what was true and what wasn't. There was a big rumor going around that the children's hospital in Birmingham was on fire. And this Facebook page was basically created to dispel myth and rumor around the riots. Mm. And back in the day when Zuckerberg didn't have so many yachts to fill, he grew to 65,000 followers in just 3 days, which was absolutely mind-blowing. You could do it back in 2011, but not now, unfortunately. And it was at that point that it kind of grasped the imagination of Birmingham and also us in terms of the team, because when you think about social media, the actual transition for publications, so your traditional local news per se, was they didn't understand how to operate on social. And the reason for that is because they didn't know how to make money. So a traditional newspaper is obsessed by getting people onto their website. That's all they care about. And in order to do that, you have to take someone from social, click a link, and get them to the site. Now, if you think about what's been the major problem over the last 10 years, it's actually the rise in fake news and clickbait. And people don't want clickbait. People are bored of it. So the way we managed to grow Birmingham Updates was just writing and producing content that was inherently social first. If something had happened, or there was a new bar opening or a new restaurant or a road was closed or something like that, we would produce that content and distribute it straight through social media. And the engagement that we got was so much bigger than anyone else that all of a sudden Birmingham Updates was just absolutely everywhere. And we just continued to grow and grow and grow. Similarly in Bristol, so Sam, who's now my business partner, launched Best of Bristol. Again, he realized that there wasn't that social first community or social first page that was covering what was happening in Bristol, supporting independence, talking about amazing charities, talking about amazing initiatives, new restaurants, bars, all that good stuff, without kind of driving someone to a website where the experience was so appalling, actually just really, really, really worked from an engagement perspective. We thought about what the platforms wanted as well when it came to the content. And we just really operated in a way that was maximizing our engagement and reach through social. And it was that really that's absolutely worked for us to grow to a million followers across all of our communities now. I think the biggest challenge, obviously, is it's all fun and games, just creating a massive community. Obviously, that isn't a sustainable business. So it was difficult to make that transition, but it's one that we've done quite successfully.
There's so much that I want to ask about this as I'm thinking.
I rambled on quite a lot there.
No, it's really helpful. And I'm just sitting here thinking about, you made a very clear and succinct point, and something I haven't really reflected on myself too much, but the emergence and the issue with clickbait and fake news and traditional media companies wanting to use social media to get clicks back to their website, essentially that creates this extra step in the user journey, which we don't want. Now, the counter argument to this, which is I'm thinking through, is that journalists and traditional media companies will probably argue you should get your information from factual, trustworthy sources, such as traditional media companies. Of course, they're going to argue that point. So they would argue that some of this democratization of news is not actually helpful to the end user and maybe leading to the misinformation as well, or the age of misinformation.
Yeah, correct.
So I'm just maybe just interesting touching on that point about, I understand what you said. Essentially, you're giving readers or local people, users, readers, the raw truth. You're giving them information in the format or the medium that they've signed up for. They've signed up for Facebook to receive information in a certain way. They don't want to use Facebook as a click through to another platform. So I understand that. That's really clear. But how do you ensure the trustworthiness of the news that you deliver when it comes to local information?
Yeah, great question. And it's always a difficult one, because even on social, like, I love Lad Bible. Lad Bible is genius, right? But what is it that gets the most engagement on Lad Bible? It's generally when McDonald's launch a ridiculous burger, or Greggs do something funny, or Aldi do something funny, right? And it is so easy for us as Birmingham Updates and Best of Bristol to jump on that type of content, because we know it's just going to get monster engagement. You just know it. But actually what that does is it loses the integrity of the page. Or the community. So the integrity of the community is all about Birmingham or Bristol. If we start producing content that is A, incorrect, B, not relevant, i.e. not about Birmingham or Bristol, and C, misleads our audience, our business is gone. Literally, our community would not follow us. Our engagement would be everyone just commenting, this is all nonsense, this is rubbish, et cetera, et cetera. No one would therefore advertise with us. No one would therefore have a job, and it would be impossible to keep the community going. So from our perspective, I totally get the point that journalists want that truth, integrity, level of regulation, which is absolutely correct and absolutely fair. Ours is more of a moral thing, whereby if we were to wind up our community, produce content that wasn't correct or the other things that I mentioned, we're out, we're done, we don't exist anymore. And that is always our kind of underlying principle, that we have to make sure that our community are always trusting us and always engaging and liking the content we produce.
No, that's a really great answer, and that helps me understand. And actually, just as we unfold some of this a little bit more and the growth of these two communities, particularly with Best of Bristol and Birmingham Updates here. So what platforms are we talking about now that Best of Bristol and Birmingham Updates operate on? So Facebook, I think you mentioned. I've seen Instagram in my research. Any other platforms or groups?
Yes, so Twitter is Twitter generally is something where we do more reactive content. So where we will jump on a trend, but can make it relevant. So Squid Game, for example, is everywhere at the moment. It's still everywhere. So we produced a bit of funny content that linked Squid Game to Birmingham and Bristol. So we use Twitter from that perspective. And the other one is TikTok. So both Birmingham Updates and Best of Bristol are now growing quite quickly, actually, on TikTok. And it's an amazing platform. And I know we'll come onto it, but it's literally changed how you think about content, even on Facebook and Instagram now.
TikTok has, sorry, the L. Yeah, right, got you. Yeah, we'll come back to that in just a moment. So just a couple of other questions about Best of Bristol and Birmingham Updates and the growth of those communities. I'm interested in, outside of just that trustworthiness discussion that we just had, were there any obstacles in your journey in growing the Birmingham Updates community, which you then were able to overcome and apply those lessons in the growth of Best of Bristol. So there's things you've learned along that journey, really.
Yeah. So one of the biggest ones was the changes in the platform. So I think it was back in 2016, 2017. And Mark Zuckerberg came out and said, Facebook is changing. And it's more about meaningful connection between people, I think was his words.
Right.
And from that point on, the algorithm has never been the same. It has been much, much harder for publications like Birmingham Updates and Best of Bristol to get massive cut through on Facebook in particular. So before, you would be able to reach 1, 2, 3, 4 times the amount of followers you have. So if you've got 100,000 followers, it's possible for you to go viral and reach 2, 3, 4, 500,000 people. Not anymore. So the algorithm changes where I think on average, it's between 15 to 20% of your community see your posts on average now. Mm-hmm. That is a major, major difference. So from our perspective, it was adjusting to that, making sure that we were creating content that was meaningful engagement, meaningful connections between people. So we had to change the way we did our captions to answer more questions, to bring our community more on board. We had to think about the type of content. So again, on Facebook in particular, they had this big push for videos that were longer than 3 minutes in length.
Yeah.
Now, to go from a position where you could write a quick caption with a photo to have to produce a video that's longer than 3 minutes is huge in terms of the resource required to do that. So that was really interesting for us and quite a big change that we had to jump onto. And it was something that was completely, completely out of our hands. And any publication, brand, person, influencer using social is at the beck and call of the algorithm. So it's not just us, but from our perspective, it was quite a major shift to performing well on those platforms. And that was a major obstacle. The other one I mentioned briefly, and that was the engagement bait and the temptation to write about an amazing thing that Greggs have done. I think Audi released a pair of trainers or Lidl released a pair of trainers, and it just went absolutely wild. It was everywhere. Yeah. And you're so tempted to write about it or to put up a post, but you're like, this isn't relevant to my community. This isn't Birmingham. And you've got to go to those underlying principles of why do people follow this page? And that was really big. And then one of the worst ones, which was really quite sad and it impacted a lot of our team, was during the pandemic, actually, we were still covering news at that point. We've actually changed our content strategy quite heavily because what we noticed was that the negativity and just almost hate in the comments around Black Lives Matter, about COVID, about all of these things was just quite shocking. And it really, really impacted the team who were actually running Birmingham Updates and our other communities. And it was at that point really that we had to think, how do we change the mood of our community? And it was really that pivotal moment where we stopped actually covering local news, as it were, and we moved towards more local lifestyle, more positive news, more upbeat stories. So incredible street art, people doing amazing things, exciting things for the region, like the Commonwealth Games coming to Birmingham. So it was kind of, yeah, the mood of the nation, really, that was a big obstacle for our growth. And we had to really adapt our content strategy to get around that.
That is fascinating. And it's, yeah, the way I'm kind of summarizing that in my mind, it's kind of a shift between covering local news, but then just to local coverage. Coverage is a bit broader. It's more within your control. News is dictated by whatever's happening and you're reacting to it. Coverage is a bit more proactive. You can kind of choose and, like you said, maybe mold or shape the mood, the conversations that you want to have a little bit more. But you're completely right. And it's something that I haven't had a discussion on this podcast with anyone about, but the political awareness, the social awareness, everything that's just happened in the world over the last few years, one of the most difficult jobs, I imagine, has been to be a social media or community manager, being on the receiving end of all of everyone's opinions every day, to manage conversations, to try and manage the mood, to keep things positive. It's difficult for so many of us. But if you're seeing those things day in, day out, and that's your job, I imagine there's a lot of very worn out and downbeat social media and community managers out there. So, to all of you out there that have been working, I appreciate you. Thanks for your hard work. And I think it's just a case of we just have to appreciate those roles and how difficult they are, and remember that they are actual people on the other end of that, really.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was the social media manager at Yorkshire Tea deserves a massive shout out, because I can't remember the actual comment, but I'm sure it was Rishi Sunak was holding up a bag of Yorkshire Tea, and someone was shouting at Yorkshire Tea on Twitter saying, "Oh, I'm never going to drink you again." And the social media manager just replied to whoever it was, it's like, "Literally, you're shouting at tea." And it was unbelievable. I just laughed so much. And it was that, really, that you're just like, yeah, these social media managers get bombarded day in, day out. And I tell you what, social media manager, it's one of the hardest roles, one of the hardest roles ever, because the complexity of what you're asked to do now is massive. We expect social media managers and content creators to be videographers, editors, photographers, copywriters, data analysts, now presenters, because TikTok wants people to front the videos, and a graphic designer. Honestly, the list just goes on with what we expect from our social media managers today. And it is a tough job, especially then at the end of the day when you go to moderate some comments and you've just got absolute hate and chaos to kind of go through. So yeah, I massive respect to all social media managers out there. It's not an easy job, and I think you deserve a lot more respect than you maybe get.
Yeah, you just mentioned so many aspects of the role of the social media manager, that a mediator, like mediating between people in comments and stuff, is also another important
part. Absolutely. Counselor.
counselor, exactly. Yeah, well, I think it's important that, I'm glad we had that conversation. It's important to shine a light on that topic. And the thing that's really difficult is that in an ideal world, you know, maybe as you've just described, if you're a bigger company, you have the luxury of greater budgets, then perhaps you do have a separate videographer and separate to a social media manager, separate to a presenter, and so on and so forth. In smaller companies, it's pretty natural that your roles are a little broader. But again, if you're a business owner or someone that's recruiting a social media manager in a small company, you do have to manage your expectations about what's achievable.
Yeah, but totally.
On that note, how does that work for Best of Bristol and Birmingham Updates? Do you have separate people doing separate roles? Do you have generally one or two, what do you call them, journalist types or creators?
Yeah. So we have, so Sam is our CMO. So he's overall responsible for the performance and, I guess, content pillars within our communities. And then we have a head of Birmingham Updates, and we have a head of Best of Bristol. And they are responsible for making sure the content we're putting down is good. So a lot of the content that we use is user generated. So amazing photographers, amazing videographers that have been in created content that we obviously ask for permission for and shine a light on the work they're doing. Then also we have a range of videographers and photographers and graphic designers. So if we do want to go out and create content ourselves, they can basically write briefs for our team to go out and create that for them if they're not out and about themselves just creating. So yeah, we're quite lucky in the fact that we have those specialties. We've also got presenters as well, which is brilliant. So a lot more informative presenter-led content that we're doing at the moment. Just one example is that there's basically an underground bunker, a nuclear bunker that sits underneath Birmingham that nobody knows about. Nice. And we did a presenter-led piece all about why that's there, what it is, where it goes from. We did another one. There's apparently a gypsy curse on the Birmingham City Football Club stadium. So again, we went down and filmed one of our presenters talking about that. And yeah, so we're very fortunate that we've got that wide range of skills within the team.
As you were talking through the growth of those communities, I'm also interested in software and organic versus paid. So just on the software front, have you used any software to help grow these communities over these last 10 years?
Yes, good question. So one of the biggest ones for us is a platform called CrowdTangle. And Facebook actually bought CrowdTangle a couple of years ago and basically gave it as a free bit of software to publishers. And what you can do is you can set triggers, basically. So when content starts to get higher levels of engagement relative to normal in the likes of Facebook groups or other pages that you can set to follow, you can get notified when things start to trend. Right. So that was a really big one for us because we wanted to make sure that back in the day when we were covering news, that we wanted to be first. We wanted to make sure that we were covering the story. So that was a real big one for us. Other bits of technology, I mean, Twitter for us was just epic. So the likes of TweetDeck, I know it's really obvious, but it works so well just to see what the conversation was, obviously setting up keywords in Birmingham and Bristol and just having a real localized view. I guess that's the one benefit we have when we're just a location-based community is that most people, when they're writing about content, you either know them because they're influential within the city or they write Brum, Birmingham, Bristol in their captions. So from that perspective, just having really good keyword trackers was absolutely vital for us.
Onto the topic of organic and paid. So far, everything that you've described, we've described journalists or creators responding to news and then pivoting to coverage. You've discussed their software that's helped you grow. And then, of course, there's the organic versus paid. Now, going back to, you mentioned 2016 and some Facebook algorithm changes. You know, the more skeptical people out there, it depends what side of the fence you sit on. Some people will say, hey, Facebook changed the algorithm so that people had to pay for exposure more. And actually, the only way to build communities is through paid ads on Facebook and other platforms. What's been your experience? Has all of this been organic? Has it been paid? A mix of both?
So Birmingham Updates and Best of Bristol has been fully organic. We've never paid to promote following us. One of the biggest things we had was we had a lot of deals with brands where we'd basically guarantee a certain level of coverage. And before, it was so easy to hit those because the content you produced just went absolutely wild. And we were always overestimating how many people we'd reach because the algorithm was in our favor. So when the algorithm turned and we had these deals still in place, we did have to put some spend behind just to make sure that we achieved our contractual requirements, basically. So there has been paid behind some of our posts, but it's generally on branded content rather than organic content.
And on the paid side of things in general, are you on that kind of more skeptical side of the view that social media companies or big tech companies in general are trying to tweak the algorithm in favor of their self-service ad platforms? Is that where you would stand maybe, or do you not read into it that much?
No, it's natural, right? If you were Mark Zuckerberg, you would not continue to run Facebook if you were just giving people free reach. I mean, the reality is he's an extremely successful business person, as is Jack Dorsey at Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe the algorithms were changed to suppress reach. You can see it in the data. Like a lot of the stuff we see is our average reach per post used to be 120,000 on Birmingham Updates. Now you're looking at between 70 and 80.
Right.
So that's a huge reduction. And it was all after these announcements that Zuckerberg made. So I absolutely believe that there is a suppression in reach. They've changed the algorithms, absolutely. What I don't stand for, though, is always using that to blame poor performance. Because good content does get good engagement. It's absolutely 100% true. From that respect. And one of the reasons we rebranded to Nonsensical is because if you think about the content that actually works on social, it's not always what you'd expect. So if you're a brand, do people actually care about brands on social? Honestly, do you really look forward to the next post from the post office or the AA or some of these companies that have social media? Absolutely not. What you actually engage with is content that is funny, relevant, inspiring. It may be educational. You may learn something. And it's that really, or trending, obviously, trending topic. So pop culture and that kind of thing. So actually, if you're a brand and you're really thinking about what it is that's going to engage your community and you're creating content that actually works and actually resonates with your audience, your engagement rates and your reach will be higher. So I don't buy that the algorithm has suppressed everything and it's a waste of time, because good content does cut through.
That's a great phrase at the end. In fact, that's a phrase I had in mind as you were talking. Good content cuts through. And it's very easy, isn't it, to fall into the trap of thinking that maybe your content's not resonating because of the tech companies and whatever's happening. But you're in control of what you produce and you've got to experiment. And as you said, there is lots of luck involved and timing, which makes a lot of this nonsensical. I'm interested, actually, as we talk about that, has there been anything more recently that stood out to you? Maybe something that you know, it's just an everyday piece, something that's produced that maybe has been particularly popular for you in any of these communities that you just didn't expect. And maybe it's just a mix of that timing, luck, something that's resonated that just doesn't make sense, but it's worked.
it's a really good point. So community-wise, we started working with a presenter in Bristol. It's called Oscar, or Boss Finesse is his name. And we did a piece where he basically went into one of the Indian restaurants that we worked with and just tried a couple of dishes on the menu. Oscar is unbelievably Bristol. Like, if you think of Bristolian, think 10 times more and you've got Oscar, right? And it was just absolutely perfect. So it's him in the rain outside the Indian restaurant. I'm not going to try and do the Bristol accent because it was just embarrassing for everyone involved. But the way that he started the video, then took you through, did the tasting, it was unreal. I think it reached like 300,000 people across Instagram Reels and TikTok. It was just absolutely mind-blowing. And when you produced it, you're just like, yeah, that's a good bit of content. It's a little bit bizarre because you have this like ridiculously Bristol presenter, and it just went absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. It was amazing. I recommend you go and have a look because it is funny. I can't describe Oscar apart from the most Bristolian person you've ever seen.
I was going to say that's the kind of thing I'll link to in the show notes if any listeners want to look at that and take a look at that. And then I'm glad you mentioned TikTok there, because I think it's good to close out, and you've teased your enthusiasm for TikTok throughout this. So time to talk about TikTok. When did TikTok really start coming on your radar? When did you start to experiment with it? And as you talk through that, maybe talk about the growth of this endless mythology community if you can.
Yeah, great. So TikTok really, I think like most people was... I mean, I knew it when it was Musical.ly and you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, fair enough. Can't quite get my head around this. And then all of a sudden, I think it must have been March, April time, it just went through the roof. And every video you saw on Instagram had the TikTok watermark.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on here? And what I love about TikTok is they've completely turned the model on its head. So if you think about Facebook and Instagram, all it is you're seeing is pretty much the same content over and over again. So you go onto your home screen, your newsfeed, and you will see posts from people you follow, whether that's friends, brands, influencers, news publications. And eventually it gets a bit samey. Like, you look at your stories most days and it's pretty much the same content. It's quite salesy. You've got sponsored ads in there that are just completely irrelevant. And it just gets a bit boring. Now, what TikTok have done is they've basically gone, forget that. I'm just going to show you content I think you're going to like. And I'm going to learn so much about you from how you actually engage with content that every time you come on, it is an absolute goldmine. And you've got no idea what is coming next. So it's just an absolutely fascinating platform. It is by far the only place, as a brand, as a publication, as a community builder, where you can have 1,000 followers, but your video go viral and reach millions of people.
That's really interesting. And so, yeah, maybe as you talk that through, when did that interest and enthusiasm turn into, hey, this is going to turn into an endless mythology community? I really want to know that story. Also, it's such a niche topic, but one that I can see it's very hard to explain, isn't it? But I can see how that topic or those topics would resonate so much with a TikTok audience.
Yeah, totally, totally. So as a social media agency, again, it goes back to what I was saying at the start in terms of credibility. So I knew that brands would want to be on this platform. It was going nowhere. They sponsored the Euros. This platform was going places. They've got a billion active users, excluding China and India. So it's monster, right? You have to be on there. And one thing I could not do is go to a sales pitch or go and speak to someone and say, hey, we can run your TikTok without doing it ourselves. So we spoke to a lady in our team called Izzy, absolute legend. And we said, right, we got a challenge for you. And she's obsessed with Assassin's Creed. She just finished Valhalla and a couple of other games. And she was like, I tell you what, I'm really interested in mythology. And this is the reason why you should never listen to your bosses. We said, that's a bit niche. Like, how are you going to create so much content about mythology? So we said, why don't you start with Endless History? And funnily enough, we started with Endless History. Every single post we did was fine. And then the mythology ones that Izzy put in went absolutely wild. So we're like, okay, Izzy, you've won us over here. Focus all the content on mythology and off you go. And yeah, 7 months, she's grown it to 100,000 followers. I think we've had something ridiculous like 10 million video views or something ridiculous across that time. And the biggest thing with TikTok is finding a mode or a method or a style of video that really works for you and your community. So Endless Mythology, we do a lot of voiceover type videos. So we'll get footage and we'll talk about stories about whatever it may be, Cyclops or Norse mythology or whatever it may be. Whereas with Birmingham Updates and Best of Bristol, what we do is more, here's awesome places to go and visit in Bristol, and we'll send a presenter down there and they'll start to talk and show you through some of the best burger restaurants or best places to get cocktails or five hidden parks you didn't know about. So the different types of content you can create on that platform, it's a case of testing and really working out what resonates with the community that you're building. So yeah, Izzy takes full credit and should never listen to us again, basically.
There's quite a few things that I want to ask. So on the TikTok, in terms of the growth of that community, again, is that all paid or is there organic there? I know TikTok recently opened up their self-service ads in the UK.
Yeah, so all of that has been organic, no paid.
And a similar question as to those that I've asked before, in terms of any software or services that have helped you in that community management and growth on TikTok?
Yes. So I'm going to do a self-plug in a moment because I think what we've created is quite fun, actually.
But yeah, go.
The first one, I can't even remember what they used to edit the film, the videos. It'll come to me in a second. So yeah, in terms of video editing, we find absolutely crucial. We use InShot, which is a really, really simple mobile phone video editor. There's so many great transitions on there, so much music. It's absolutely brilliant. So the good thing about that is if you're creating content that can work across both TikTok and Instagram Reels, you can edit outside of TikTok through InShot and then upload to both platforms. That obviously doesn't work all the time if you're creating content specifically to do with music or a trend or a hashtag that's trending on TikTok. It generally doesn't work on Reels, but for more proactive content, then you can use InShot. So that's something that the team absolutely rely on in terms of editing. And one of the funniest things is we've got, they won't mind me saying this, we've got videographers in our team who are superb in terms of the way that they produce content, but sometimes it's actually too polished for TikTok. So one of the biggest things, and they absolutely hate it, is just like, right, this is a TikTok video, so can you just go out with your phone and a gimbal and just capture the content and be a little bit shaky? They look at me like I've gone absolutely nuts, but it's all about authenticity of content. And if it's too polished, it just doesn't work. And then by far, I think the most important thing on TikTok and most platforms today, to be fair, is having a presenter who is very, very confident and comfortable on camera. TikTok is all about the first 5 seconds. If you've got someone who's energetic, who can explain what's going to be in the video, and really capture your attention in that first 5 seconds, you will absolutely go far. And it's one of the major reasons why brands don't start on TikTok. So what we did was we thought, well, actually, we don't have this many presenters in-house. We have some, like our TikTok specialist, which is by far the most 2021 job title of all time, has 80,000 followers on his own TikTok. So he's an absolute machine. But what we decided to do was actually go out into TikTok and basically find presenters who would be willing to create content. So we now have a service called TikTok On Demand, where brands can come to us and clients can come to us and say, we want X number of videos creating for TikTok. Can you help us with a brief and actually finding the right person to record it, to present it, whether that's based on diversity or whatever it may be in terms of making sure it's right for the brand. So that's been something that's been really quite fun building over the last kind of 6 months or so.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing and a really useful resource. And one thing that we haven't discussed is you've grown this community, all of these communities, but in particular, Endless Mythology. Are you now monetizing that community in any way, or are you just continuing to use it as kind of an experimental internal project?
At the moment, experimental and very internal. We are on TikTok's creator fund now, so they pay us money for content we create just for the platform. It's not that lucrative, I'll be brutally honest, but it's nice to be to be valued by the platforms. So we're just fully organic and not paid for on that platform at the moment. Maybe if the next Assassin's Creed comes out or a brand wants to reach into the mythology community, then we're open. But it's just kind of internal research and credibility building really for us, and just proving that we can do it.
And I'm not a huge TikTok user. Like, as a marketer, I experiment. I'm just a social media lurker in general. You know, I'm my medium is podcasting, and I enjoy these conversations and get out there that way. But one thing that I haven't seen as much as I've spent time on TikTok is local aspects of TikTok. I don't even know if that exists. So can you achieve that kind of same sense of local community as with Facebook, as with Instagram, on TikTok? Is that something you've seen or experimented with?
Yeah, it's a brilliant question. I mean, we talked earlier about what are the best platforms for building local. Yeah. One of the best ones is actually Facebook groups right now. It's absolutely spot on. People are looking and searching for groups. They want to be more local. And that's one of the best ways of actually building local communities today is through Facebook groups. But TikTok is getting there. It's very much to do on the hashtags that you use and making sure that you're creating content that is, again, true to your community. So when we create content for Bristol and Birmingham, we make sure that we've got the accents good. So you've got a Bristol accent, a Birmingham accent. We film in memorable and noticeable places in those two cities. So the algorithm basically learns who that video should be going to. So based on the hashtags, based on if someone's engaged with it before, it's a little bit hit and miss, but we have grown. I think Birmingham Updates is at 10,000 followers now, and Best of Bristol is at 14,000, I think. And the good thing with having local communities is you're based in Brighton, I think you said. Why would you follow Birmingham Updates or Best of Bristol? It's not of interest to you at all. If I talk about five parks to go to, you are completely and utterly not interested. So it's a case of making sure that the content you're creating is right for that community that you want to build. That's a really, really important aspect. And just on the paid side of things, they haven't launched it yet, but they are about to release location-based targeting through their ads platform. So that will become helpful for us to grow a little bit quicker on that platform as well.
Ollie, I know we're at the end of our time together now. So just to close out the episode, do you want to let our listeners know where they can find out more about you, Nonsensical, and maybe some of the accounts that we've just been discussing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So LinkedIn is always good. So I'm Oliver Hills on LinkedIn. Follow Nonsensical on social. So we are nonsensical.social on Instagram and TikTok. We generally try and produce content about news and things happening in the world of social media, things that you should know, good campaigns. So definitely recommend following us on there. And we've actually just launched a report into the top 50 UK brands on TikTok today. So you can get that on our website, which is nonsensical.agency. It's free to download, and it's got some really helpful resources in there in terms of how the brands have actually built their communities, like McLaren and Gymshark and Black Country Living Museum, who are actually number one, have done an absolutely incredible job. So yeah, it's well worth having a read.
Ollie, thanks again. That's been a really interesting episode, and helped me to reflect on kind of local social and in TikTok in particular in a way that I haven't done recently on the podcast. All of the links to everything that we've been discussing today will be in the show notes. And for now, I'll just say thanks for your time. And this has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.
Thanks, Scott.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.